Thank you.
Too far away.
Yes.
Say what?
Nuts.
Stashel.
Thank you.
What?
Is that going why you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Full of nuts too.
Full of nuts.
Well,
okay.
Corners of the
cross. Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
I would mention before I wanted to at least dedicate my share. We already mentioned Yoshua Jacobson's Elin Hashem before. I mentioned also that my my grandfather, Alav Shalom, his yard site was today, not tonight, but was today. So I mentioned his name also. The share should be the brief share, and the other share should be Elin Hashem. So Usher Ben Yosef. We'll go through the points first, and then at the end I'll spend a minute or two talking about him. So my title for now is What Do We Eat on Erev Pesach and Other Selected Halachos of Erev Pesach. We're going to mainly focus on the eating on Erev Pesach, and if we have any extra time, which I don't think we will, but if we do, then we'll mention one or two other points very, very quickly. So everybody knows that there's a major problem on Erev Pesach, and it's not only how do we clean and how do we burn and how do we get sleep so we'll be awake for the night. The major problem on Erev Pesach, of course, is how are we going to get through the Seder without starving ourselves? That's the big question. And we don't have very much we're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach and the night of Pesach at the Seder itself until Shulchan Aruch has arrived. And it's really a big issue. Okay, you could say, yeah, we'll get through it, it's fine. But the truth is, it really is something which is a little bit difficult. So just to understand what the halachas are, what are the possible things that we can eat, is good to go through from time to time. Just make sure that we're clear on what is okay and what's not okay, and maybe some suggestions on how to make ourselves somewhat full but not too full before the Seder or during the Seder. Okay, so when it comes to Erev Pesach, so we know obviously that you're allowed to eat chametz in the morning. You may not have any chametz left in your house, depending on how zaris you were in cleaning for Pesach. The zrizim akdum mitzvos in this community, I think, are already kosher on the Pesach like 4 or 5 days before Erev Pesach has come. I don't know how it's done. I have no idea. We're always down to at least the last night, and sometimes the last morning. It definitely helps for us and for our kids that we actually have what to eat for breakfast. Sometimes we don't eat inside the house, but at least outside we'll set up shop, you know, on the grass somewhere in the yard. Whatever cereal or whatever else we have left, we'll eat outside. And if we're really good, if we're good that year, we made it through, we already done the night before us, then whatever, you know, whatever other stuff we can make for ourselves, we'll eat in the morning. But again, strictly speaking, you're allowed to eat chametz in the morning until the beginning of the fifth hour. Aside from that, so the question is, what else can you eat? So there's a bunch of points that you can discuss and try to figure out what you could eat and what you can't eat. Let's talk about the clearest one first, and then we'll move down the list to things that are a little bit less clear. Shakol. Okay, so clearly you are allowed to eat shakol all day, meaning shakol foods are definitely allowed to be eaten both in the morning and in the afternoon and all the way up till shkia, basically. You should try, ideally, not to stuff yourself so that you have no appetite for the night. But again, being that, let's say, shkia is at like, you know, 7 o'clock and, you know, you're not going to eat your meal till at least 11 o'clock, even if you stuff yourself till 7 o'clock, you still have, you probably will still be hungry for 11 o'clock for your Shulchan Aruch. But again, l'chadachila, don't eat too much shahakol, but it's fine. Meaning, however, in general, strictly speaking, there's no limit. So what that means, of course, what'd you say?
Whiskey.
I'm not sure if I go for the whiskey, but you're actually, right, that's also true. Maybe they made new whiskey, though. I don't know, Pesach whiskey. What? I'm sure one of these days they're going to come out with it, right? One of these days. Anyway, so all those kinds of things, which includes obviously potatoes and cottage cheese and fish and also chicken and meat, by the way, also included. All sorts of any other good shakol. A lot of the brownies and the cookies are also, if they're made from potato starch, then those are also shakol. You could eat those too. So a lot of the Pesach cereals, if there are any, those are a lot of times shahakol. So the truth is, it's not that hard to find things to eat for those that are, you know, most of the products here in this country, in Israel, most products are not made out of matzah meal. Most of the store products are really potato starch, so they can get all the people that don't eat gebruchs, and still get them to buy it also. I'm sure I'm missing some things, but all those kinds of things, you know, those are the shahakol things that you're basically allowed to eat up until shkia in the afternoon. If you want, again, just try not to stuff yourself too much. Anybody who really feels that they won't be hungry at night obviously should be a little bit more machmir. That's pretty easy. Where do we go from there? So on the other extreme, go back to the other extreme, what are you definitely not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach?
Matzah.
Okay, so we know that there's this idea of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach. It's actually originally based on the Talmud Yerushalmi, believe it or not. And the reason is there's two versions of this idea. One is that we want to make sure that it's clear that the matzah that we eat at night is the real matzah, meaning sort of like on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't blow the shofar to distinguish between the minhag shofar blowing during Elul and the obligatory shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. So here also, we want to make sure that it's clear that the matzah we eat on the night of Pesach is the real matzah, and nobody's going to get confused and start thinking, you know, well, it's all the same thing. No, the Pesach matzah is the real matzah, and we're not going to start doing other things eating matzah similar to that earlier. The other reason that was very, very interesting also, based on the statement of the Rishonim, basically, is that somebody who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is, anybody know the analogy? You're probably familiar with this, you remember the analogy? Quite graphic, right? Boel arusaso.
Cheating before
basically you have relations with your fiancé before you get married, okay? Boel arusaso, on the day of your chuppah or whatever. It's based on it's the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says anybody who eats matzah on Erev Pesach is...
Pesach is like the Nisun.
Yeah, basically. So again, it's a very deep analogy, and you have to think about it for a little bit. Oh, hold on. We'll get that in a second. That's the minor point. In terms of the powerful point, though, it's very, very interesting to think about the matzah is considered to be like our kala. A very, very deep relationship between the Jewish people and matzah, which we're not going to go into now, but very, very, very deep to understand what the significance of that is and the idea that we can't get into it too fast, meaning matzah has to be at the right time, at the right place, and you can't jump in, you can't start eating it before the right time. Maybe we'll mention a point about it at the end. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So that's the halacha. The halacha is it's brought down in the Ramah in Siman Tav Ayin Aleph that you're not allowed to have matzah on Erev Pesach. There are some, Mishnah Berurah says, there are some that are machmir not to have matzah also all the way from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's only a minhag, and not everybody keeps the minhag, so if you are of those that do not keep that minhag, then you are more than welcome to eat matzah now until Erev Pesach. But many of us, I think, have sort of adopted that minhag. Maybe we didn't even realize that there was different minhag. But it's fine, you know, as long as if that's your minhag, then great. Of course, when you bake matzahs, if you want to actually eat some of the matzahs, when you bake the matzahs, you can't do that. There's matzah baking this Thursday night, I think, in Beit Chilkiah, if you want to go. So, you know, some people actually do eat the matzahs then, but that's not going to work if your minhag is to start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But again, Nekar Adin, it's mutter. Okay, by the way, there's other discussions also we're not going to get into now from the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that the Isra of eating matzah was from Chatzot on the afternoon of Pesach. Some say it's from the night before, but we paskin, the Iker Halacha is from the morning, meaning from Alos HaShachar in the morning is when you're really not allowed to eat matzah. Fine, so that matzah is off limits. Moving down from there, what else is somewhere in the middle? So what about egg matzah? Is there any heter for eating egg matzah on Erev Pesach? So the answer is, if you're Sephardi, the answer is, of course, because if you're Sephardi, then you're allowed to eat egg matzah on Pesach. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman, I think it's the same place, in Tav Ayin Aleph. What is that?
For the kids.
Ah, so for kids, probably also, if they need to, they probably could eat egg matzah.
It doesn't fall in the category of eating matzah before the day before.
So what do you mean?
Meaning it's not similar enough to matzah.
Okay, so hold on. So like just this. In terms of getting the point clear, basically what the poskim say is like this. The main issue of eating matzah on Erev Pesach is you're not allowed to eat any matzah which has the same taste of matzah as you eat at the Seder. According to that, does egg matzah have the same taste of matzah as we eat at the Seder?
You can put anything on it.
Right. It does not have the same taste. And because of that, the halacha is, are you allowed to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah at the night of the Seder with egg matzah? The answer is absolutely not. You're not allowed to. So the strict halacha is that you actually would be allowed, as we said, you would be allowed to eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach. And that's what, officially speaking, that's what the Sfaradim holds, that you're allowed to. Ashkenazim, though, because Ashkenazim have a chumrah based on some Rishonim, I think it's Rashi, who basically say that we are sort of afraid if you start making matzahs using fruit juice and today with eggs, whatever it is, there's more of a chance that it might that the dough might rise. So therefore, Ashkenazim or Machmir, according to the Ramah and Siman Tav Samach Aleph, we're Machmir that you can't have egg matzah and matzah ashira, fruit juice matzah, on Pesach itself. And it seems, according to most poskim, that once the minhag is to be Machmir on Pesach itself, it's also to be Machmir on Erev Pesach. The question is, if you have kids, so again, strictly speaking, if they need to eat it, it's probably okay. If you're able to get by without it, so kids over the age of chinuch, meaning ideally from age 6 or so, so maybe even less than that. If you can get by without it, it's better to get by without it. But the halacha is that the Ramah says in Siman Tav Samach Aleph that even on Pesach, kids that need it are allowed to eat egg matzah. So if on Pesach, kids can eat the egg matzah if they need it. So certainly before Pesach, also on Erev Pesach, if they need it, they can eat it. But again, you know, if they don't need it, then don't bother. But if they do need it, it'll be okay. One other note to be aware of: in this country, in Israel, there have been some issues with egg matzah shira in this country, with actual chashash chametz. This was a big thing in the news I don't remember exactly what it was, a couple years ago maybe. I don't remember if it was the Hashkacha of the Batas Beit Yosef or something else. There was some major problems that they had, that there was actually a chashash that the egg matzah or the matzah shir was actually real chametz, that they actually, it rose in some way, and a lot of the rabbanim said don't eat it at all. Even Sardim shouldn't eat it. Again, I don't know if they made it better now, if they solved the problem. I'm actually not sure. I did not check for now. But again, be aware, meaning be careful that it's been checked, that it's considered to be a reliable Hashkacha, and there's no concerns of chametz about it, because then it would be a problem according to everybody. That's in terms of egg matzah. But again, you know, there may be some opinions that would say if you need to, you could eat egg matzah on Erev Pesach as well. But most poskim say that certainly for adults that we should not, and for kids if they need it, maybe yes, and if not, I guess you can try to avoid it.
When you say egg matzah, you're referring to matzah shira?
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, the matzah shira, the real matzah shira was with fruit juice.
Right.
What we call egg matzah is assuming that eggs made with them is the same thing as fruit juice, which most people say that it is.
Okay.
There is one opinion, by the way, that says that until the sixth hour you could eat egg matzah. I mean, even though we stopped with chametz at the beginning of the fifth hour, you can already at the sixth hour you can go until the sixth hour with egg matzah. Okay, next one. What about kidneys? Does anybody say you can eat kidneys at on Erev Pesach? Anybody know?
Well,
Sephardim
say that. Why not? Sephardim. If you're Sephardim, you can go all the way. You can eat kidneys on Pesach if you're Sephardim. Except for some people. Some Sephardim actually do not eat kidneys on Pesach itself. Not for now. But there are some groups of Sephardim from, I think, Morocco and a few other places that they don't. And my brother-in-law, who's Sephardi, and he's from Syria, but somehow he decided to be machmir on kidneys and every single other thing on Pesach. So he doesn't eat that either. He's more machmir than we are on kidneys, let's just say. Anyway, so on Erev Pesach, so the Chok Yaakov and most say that you shouldn't eat kidneys on Erev Pesach either if you're Ashkenazi. However, there is a minority opinion that says that you're allowed to.
Erev Pesach meaning
the whole day
after the
the whole day. Okay, even in the afternoon.
Before that, you could.
Until the time that you're allowed to eat chametz, you're certainly allowed to eat kidneys. Correct.
That's
clear. I'm sorry, it wasn't clear. I thought that was clear. Yeah. Until the time the Easter chametz, you're allowed to eat kidneys. Until the afternoon, even until Shkia, the shaila is, are you allowed to eat kidneys? And most poskim say not, because the minhag of Pesach for kidneys applies to Erev Pesach as well. There is a minority opinion that says, well, no, the whole thing is a minhag for Ashkenazim. It's not halacha, and therefore the minhag was to do it on Pesach, but not on Erev Pesach. So the bottom line is that we generally are machmir, which is what most poskim say, and the Chok Yaakov says. However, there are some poskim, including I saw Rav Yashiv was quoted as saying that if it's whatever you want to define as a shas of the chag, if for whatever reason you have difficulty finding things to eat and it's a serious issue, so there is some room to be making with kidneys on Erev Pesach. Okay, what'd you say?
It's a case on Pesach too.
Yeah. What I could add, if you want to,
no food, then
right? No. But I'm saying you could even their shas of the chag. It doesn't mean as much of a shas of the chag as you need on Pesach itself. If you're stuck, you could be making. And we can even go a step further. All those things that you might be machmir on that say they're lo'ochli kidneyot bilvad here in Israel, but really it's like, you know, 5% kidneyot, or it's like the canola oil or something, which is a chashash. So again, I wouldn't tell you to go against your minhag, but I would tell you that you're having difficulties, and certainly for your children, you know, there's what to rely on if you want to be a little bit more makel on Erev Pesach for those kinds of things. The only thing you have to be careful about is that you don't get confused. And once you start cooking things in Erev Pesach, and you're not really supposed to use your Pesach kelim for kidneys if you're Ashkenazi.
Right.
So once you start doing things in Erev Pesach, you might mess yourself up. Mm-hmm. So I would say, as a general rule, I recommend, even if you need it to be makel, be careful. Don't do it, but if you need to do it, be aware that it's something you could do. But again, it's better if it's like cold food that you can just eat and throw in the garbage, rather than start having questions about kelim and things like that, which again, there are some kulas, which we're not going to get into now. But it's better to avoid it if you can avoid it.
If you're addressing the kidneys issue on Erev Pesach, I think this year you have to address the kidneys issue on
Yes, I wasn't going to get to that in this year. It's a whole discussion. Ikar Adin, you're allowed to eat kidneys on the Shabbos after Pesach, but you get yourself into similar questions of kelim and other things and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, in terms of cooking things, I personally would recommend against it. I think we spoke about this last year also, because this came up last year too. If you want to eat, you know, bags of chips and stuff like that, so if you have them stored away somewhere during Pesach, what's that?
Hummus on the matzah. The bottom line.
Yeah, hummus on the matzah. So again, you have to be careful. You have to keep things stored away, because if it's around on Pesach, that's not okay. It's got to be stored away some set place, you know, which is not with everything else, so you don't have problems. But maybe we'll talk about that toward the end of Pesach.
Get invited out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get yourself invited out by somebody who's more makel than you. Okay, let's quickly finish up with a couple other things here. So that's in terms of kidneys. What is the story with matzah meal and with cooked matzah? cook matzah foods. So matzah meal, of course, is not just matzah meal, but matzah meal means, you know, all the cookies and the cakes, which, again, some of them you may make yourself, or some which are hard to find in this country, in Israel, but the ones that are imported from Chutz Laaretz that are made out of matzah meal and not potato starch. So are you allowed to eat those on Erev Pesach? The answer is maybe, but even if you're allowed to eat them, it's certainly only until the 10th hour, okay? Meaning the halacha, as we know, is that in the afternoon, after the 10th hour, which is, I have to check the times, I think it's somewhere around the area of 4 o'clock probably. So after that point, you're not allowed to eat any mizonos anymore.
Regardless if it's matzah meal or not.
Correct. Okay. Anyway, so before that time, so there's a bit of a question whether you can eat matzah meal on Erev Pesach, or is that included in the category of matzah itself? Most poskim say that it's included in the category of matzah itself, meaning that matzah meal, because if you ate enough matzah meal products, you would make a hamotzi on it, even though usually it's mizonos. Let's say a cooked matzah meal cookie or something like that. It's pasul b'kisnin. So if you ate enough of it, so you actually would make a hamotzi, and therefore they say that maybe you should not eat it on Erev Pesach either.
Earlier today you said about the taste.
Right,
but that's the thing, though. I mean, Mikra Hadin, if you ate enough of it, you could actually be yotze your mitzvah of matzah with that as well. Believe it or not. Again, we don't do that. But it's matzah meal is just broken up matzah. It's just broken up pieces of matzah. So once you add in other things,
that matzah farfel is more like broken pieces of matzah.
Right.
Matzah meal.
I think it also is just tiny. Fine. It's ground up.
No, it's
same
very fine. It's like
you're right.
Like a flour.
You're right. But it's still considered. It's still assumed to be the same thing. So you know, if you just ate matzah meal by itself, I think you would still make hamotzi. There are some questions. What if you do with it afterwards? You know, but basically that. I think they say that it's for this halacha. Many poskim still say that it's even if it has a slightly different taste, but basically because in theory you could make a hamotzi on it if you ate enough of it. So therefore, you should be machmir and you should not have it on Erev Pesach. However, there are some that are actually mekil. Now I don't understand. Rav Melamed and Pnei Halacha. So he says he thinks that the Mishnah Berurah and the Ramah actually hold like this. He thinks that they actually hold that you could be mekil. And the Shaar HaTzion as well. The reason why, again, without getting into too many details here, it's halachas brachos types of things. Basically what he says is that anything which has lost what they call toar lechem, it's lost the appearance of bread, so then already there's no way you would make hamotzi on it anymore. So that's the whole discussion, what's included as losing the appearance of bread.
Certainly a cookie.
So he says maybe maybe cookies probably have lost their appearance of bread, meaning in this context they want to say that maybe if you ate like 30 cookies, you wouldn't make a hamotzi on it. And therefore, Lavin wants to say, according to that if it's lost the appearance of bread, then you could actually eat it on Erev Pesach because you never could be yotze your mitzvah of matzah with that, and you wouldn't even make hamotzi on it regardless of how much you ate. In the Piskei Tshuva, so they quote a number of big poskim who say that that's not true. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and I think the Shevet Halevi, and a number of others who say that may be true, but we're still machmir, meaning that's not really a good enough kula to say that, because at the end of the day, it's still the same material, still the same matzah meal, and therefore they're machmir anyway. I think they had other reasons also, they were machmir, I don't remember exactly what. So anyway, so in terms of that point, basically, most poskim say that matzah meal products in general should be avoided on Erev Pesach, even before the 10th hour. However, again, Rav Melamed says, because this whole thing is only an Isra Drabbanon of eating matzah on Erev Pesach, it's not so clear, actually. There's some that are machmir that it's Doraisa, but many people say, it's only Drabbanon. Yeah, believe it or not. But we generally hold that as probably Drabbanon. So, again, just be aware, Rav Melamed actually says, halacha l'maisa, you can be mekel, and you can eat matzah meal products that do not have the status of bread anymore. I mean, not cake. Cake probably does look like bread in some form, but cookies and other matzah meal products that are completely...
Matzah bagels?
Matzah bagels would not be included in this. No, it would have to be. That has Torah lechem. That definitely has looks like bread enough that you could recognize that it was what it was based on. Again, cookies is the best example. I'm sure there are other products like that are like cookies in terms of this also.
So what about matzah brei?
Again, remind me how I was prepared. Which one's which?
Egg and matzah.
It's egg and matzah.
Okay, so that's also different minhagim. Okay, so two other points, and this is what we're going to finish with here.
That's more than matzah.
So there's two questions: right? Cooked matzah and fried matzah. When it comes to cooked matzah foods, so that the Mishnah Berurah actually says you can be mekil on cooked matzah foods. The example he gives is knedlach, which are basically made by taking little pieces of matzah meal or whatever and then boiling it with water. So when it's cooked, he says it clearly has a different taste. And that also for Hilchos Brachos would definitely be a mizonos. So the Mishnah Berurah says that for knedlach or anything which is that type of thing of cooked matzah, then you definitely would be allowed to eat on Erev Pesach until the 10th hour, not after the 10th hour, because it's mizonos. But at least until the 10th hour, you could be mekil and eat those things. Yeah, I know. I didn't solve any problems.
Because
I always want to avoid getting too full, and especially getting too full on anything that has to do with matzah.
Okay, good. You can be more matzah, but the question is how mikkel can you be? That's what we're trying to figure out here. So anyway, it's a pleilach and matzah balls, so they basically say if it's actually cooked in water, that's almost clear that that is okay. There are some that are machmer and some on tough mem dalat, and the halachos of Erev Pesach on Shabbos that say that maybe if it's a whole cooked matzah, then we're machmer, that's not included in this kula. But a Ramalavan says in Tanya Halacha that he thinks that everybody agrees that if we're talking about like little, you know, matzah meal, little pieces of matzah, not a whole matzah, but little pieces of matzah that are cooked, such as matzah balls, something which you're using matzah meal rather than actual matzah itself. So he says he thinks that everybody holds that you're mekil, and therefore you would be allowed to eat knei delach on Erev Pesach. My application of that is, what about, let's say, what we call matzah cereal? Okay, you take matzah meal and you cook it in water, and then you put it in the cereal or whatever, that kind of stuff. So how do you deal with that? So that, it probably depends on how you make it. The Mishnah Berurah says it's got to be cooked in a kli rishon to qualify for this leniency. So if you actually put your matzah meal in a pot on the fire, on the stove, so then that would qualify as cooked matzah, and you would be allowed to eat it on Erev Pesach. But if you take your water and you boil it, and then you pour the water, boiling water, into a bowl with matzah meal in it, that's irei kli rishon. That's pouring. That's probably not included, and most probably would say that doesn't count. So that's in terms of that. In terms of frying, so fried matzah type of thing, so that also, I think there's different minhagim about, but there are some that are mekel about that also. That fried matzah also may be like cooking it.
Probably has to be a significant amount of oil.
It has to be, you have to really fry it in order for that to work, and also the pieces of matzah might have to be pretty small. Again, this is also, we don't have time to get into this now, but Hilchos Brachos also, the pieces of matzah would have to be relatively small, like less than a kezias or whatever, in order to qualify for that. But if the pieces are less than a kezias and they're fried, so then that also may, according to at least some opinions, there is what to be making for on that on Erev Pesach. Other than that, again, you know, stuff yourself up in the afternoon on potatoes and kadashis and tuna. No. You could build, you know, small pieces of matzah are fine. You're right. You have to be careful how you deal with kazayas that are on Pesach. It gets complicated. But again, you know, you have kadashis and tuna and potatoes and all the potato starch stuff. You can stuff yourself on all the way until pretty close to Pesach beginning, as long as you don't get too full that you won't be full at night. Anyway, so that's in terms of most of the stuff about eating on Erev Pesach. We will not get into the other stuff that I was going to talk about for now. But at the Seder, just so you're aware, again, for children that need, you probably can eat during Magid if they need to, but for adults, you really shouldn't eat during Magid. You could drink water, but you shouldn't be eating other things during Magid, except for your less than a kezias of karpas. So you do your best in trying to figure it out. And I'll just conclude with one kula on fasting on for Tanis Bechoros. Our general minhag is not to fast because of we make a siyum, even for those that are Bechorim, even for those that have kids who are Bechorim, obviously. The question is, what happens if you missed your fast? What if you missed it? So now what? Mr. Siam. So the answer is, I saw Rav Henkin and a bunch of others say, even if you missed it, that you could still be mekel and you could eat an Erev Pesach. Again, what do we have to eat? Not very much. But the point is that because we're so mach around you anyway, that you can't eat anything, and because you're going to not be eating Shulchan Aruch until very late at night, basically we assume you're going to have a difficult time during the day and at night without eating. And therefore he says, even if you miss your Siyum B'di Evan, you could still be mekel because it's going to be too difficult for you. So at least that kula I can give you, even if I can't give you too many other things to eat on Erev Pesach. At least if you B'di Evan, you miss your Siyum, you can lose that. You can not worry about too much.
If everybody already goes to Siyum, at what point do you say it's no longer a tiny steeple? For 50 years in a row, nobody's fasted.
Right. No. The minhag is still to go to a Siyum. The minhag is still to go to a Siyum. So that's, you should still go to a Siyum. Okay. Seder. So just one minute about my grade. Yeah.
No, but Seder.
That's fine. No,
but Seder.
You said potato, didn't you? It's a pun.
Oh, okay. Okay, just a minute or two about my grandfather, Usher Ben Yosef. So we're talking about Erev Pesach and all the preparations we have for Pesach. We're already preparing, you know, a week and a half in advance. We've been preparing already for who knows how long in your house. But even on Erev Pesach, we talk about our preparations for what we can eat, what we can't eat, getting the foods ready. It shows you that we say, Misha Tarach B'Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos, famous Gemara, that somebody who prepares before Erev Shabbos, will we be able to eat the food on Shabbos? Which we say means also that somebody who prepares in this world, that's the drasha, somebody who prepares in Olam Hazeh, and we'll be able to eat an Olam Haba, meaning he'll have what the reward to get in Olam Haba. I think it's the same thing is true for Pesach as well, that the more that we get ready for Pesach, the more that we put into our preparations for Pesach, both physical food preparations and also chametz and spiritual preparations, trying to get the chametz out of our neshamas, trying to feel the special time of year, the special sparks that are coming down from Shemayim during this time, the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, of understanding of being free and getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time. So all these things, people, that the more that we do this, the more that we can gain out of the holiday of Pesach itself, and the more we'll be able to feel the special connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the love. And I think my grandfather illustrated this point in terms of preparing in his life for the next life. He had a rough life. He didn't have an easy time. He went through the Holocaust. He was in Auschwitz and many other places, and he had a lot of problems. And after he survived, thank God, he did not have an easy life. And he always had, he always would say, "I have tinnitus against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I always have problems." But at the end of his life, and my father has said this many times, I don't feel bad saying it. My father says, despite all that, he came around and he basically became Baal Tshuva. He decided at some point in his life that it was time, it was enough. I had enough tinnitus against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I'm never going to have all my questions answered. As Rav Naftali said before, sometimes you can't answer all the questions, and that's not necessarily a problem. It means that we don't understand how Kaddish Baruch Hu's plan and things that happened in this world that we suffered through were terrible, and we can't understand it, but we can leave the question. But my grandfather decided at some point that it was time to look forward and try to come back to getting close to Hashem and doing mitzvos again, and he had just an amazing turnaround that by the end of his life, he was basically a full-fledged Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrus and everything else, from the point when he was basically anti-everything and upset and really a tremendous, tremendous thing, and a very tremendous amount of Musar Haskell for us, for his grandchildren, looking at his life and saying, wow, when he was, for a few years before he died, he would sit there with us and he would ask us, what are we learning? And say, okay, Bava Kama and Chulin. And he starts rattling off the first Mishnah and the Gemara and Chulin, Bava Kama, this and that. He hadn't learned this stuff in 75 years. My goodness gracious, And he still remembered it. We called Girsa Dianuka. I remember from your childhood. And for him, it was obviously, he realized, when the end was near, but this was already, years before that, that there was something to be said for taking the end of your life and realizing that if I'm going to go up and meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu up in Gan Eden, in Olam Haba, I better prepare for it. I better realize that I have to get over my problems from my previous part of my life. It doesn't mean my questions will go away. They won't go away. But I can still move on, and I can still be able to make the rest of what I can with the rest of my life, and really, I'll be able to keep mitzvos and Torah and everything else. And just mention that my son's bar mitzvah is God willing coming up in a few months, Sukkot time. And my grandfather, the last however couple years of his life, he actually started putting on tefillin again. And now, basically, we decided. My father basically decided that those tefillin are going straight to my son for his bar mitzvah. So, anyway, with all that to say that Ezra Hashem, we should be able to prepare for Pesach in all sorts of different ways now and Erev Pesach, and be able to take the lesson of Pesach as a general lesson for life of Misha Tarach B'Shabbos, Yilchal B'Shabbos, the most that we can get out of life, despite all of our questions, the better off we will be, both in this life, both in this world, as well as in the next world. Shukar.
Rabbi, I just wanted to add that in terms of during the Seder, as far as what you can eat or not eat, so you have basically, so you're not starving by the time you get actually to the meal.